Welcome to Pushing Buttons.
Good luck.
Hey, and welcome back to the podcast. It is the very often promised but very rarely delivered on return of Pushing Buttons.
We're back. Yet again, from another hiatus. We keep doing this every week.
Yeah, it seems like, we had our hiatus for, 6 months last year. Although that was more my fault. Situational moving. I didn't have internet for a while because we couldn't get the people to come out to our apartment.
And no comment.
Well, that's a problem. They couldn't tell that our apartment existed. But
anyways, we're back. Consider it a reunion show.
It is. This is the, we're going to call the start of season 3, because after we took the last hiatus, that's how I started saving the files, under season 1 and season 2. Because I didn't know how else to label
right.
Them. But so, yeah, this is kind of like the equivalent of seeing a friend for the first time in like 5 years and going, so what's been happening? Well, there's been a lot. Do you want me to sit down and go through the whole thing? Because there's been a lot that's happened since we did our show.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we're not going to go through everything.
No, because I think most other people... Yeah, exactly. We'll stick to the current stuff. And why don't we just get started off with our... Oh, it was probably our favorite news, the biggest troll of the gaming industry. Mr. Kojima himself in the new Silent Hill.
Yeah, he released a demo known as PT on PS4.
Yep.
And when people finished that demo, it told them what it really meant. As usual, Kojima is basically taking on Silent Hill.
And...
But he has help.
He does. He has has help in the form of not other game developers, but Guillermo del Toro, who is... without a doubt my favorite director and producer to have ever lived, responsible for some of my favorite movies, and you have Norman Reedus,
you may know him from The Walking Dead and
Walking Dead
other...
I don't know, at least around here he's famous for Boondock Saints.
Yeah, Boondock.
And so yeah, you have him, who is appearing at least at the moment to be the main character.
Which is kind of a good choice, actually. You know, he looks depressed enough for a Silent Hill main.
He does. And, I mean, as I've seen him in a whole lot of things, he tends to work his ass off on whatever he's working with. So, you know, I believe you, between the three of them, you have a... you got a good crew of people here to make this happen. I mean, Guillermo del Toro himself is... He's very good with horror.
I hope they get the same composer that's been doing Silent Hill for years. I don't know if they will, but fingers crossed.
What was her name?
It's him.
Oh,
it's...
him. Sorry, I thought wasn't there some woman who did it for a couple times?
Yeah, Mary Elizabeth actually does some of the vocals for his songs, but it's...
Oh, okay, that's probably who I was thinking of.
I believe it's Yukiro Yokohama, right?
Yes, did I pronounce that right? I forget the exact pronunciation, but I know where it is along those lines. You know, usually I'd actually have this in front of me, but no notes with me today.
He does the compositions and for Silent Hill, and he always does an amazing job. He's one of my favorite video game composers of all time.
I think he's, for like really atmospheric stuff, he's Konami's go-to person.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I can say that maybe wasn't so great was... the soundtrack he did for that game that Suda51 did, the one about the, escapes me right now, Shadows of the Damned. That's what it was.
Yeah, that game.
He was attached to that along with Shinji Mikami and Suda. You know, it was like a dream team of developers working on it.
Right? Yeah, I think as we talked about this briefly, like during before the show started, that... you were afraid how the Silent Hill might turn out because of too many people involved, and I think that's kind of exactly what happened. Just too many people were involved.
Well, the soundtrack he put for Shadows of the Damned didn't really fit the world or the action, you know, of the game. Didn't fit the flow of the game very well. It wasn't because it wasn't awesome. It's just It felt out of place.
Well, no. Well, I mean, yeah, it makes sense. You have three like the biggest names in gaming there, who are all work on very different styles of games, and so when they came together, it just didn't really. They just didn't necessarily find the right game for them to all work with.
Although it is a fun game. I mean,
Oh, it is. It is.
Shadows of the Damned is a lot of fun.
Even through its faults, I mean, it still has some of the best scenes in games. Especially your gun.
Some of the funniest one-liners I've ever heard came from that game.
Well,
I mean, it's
you're
just
usually gonna get
crazy.
that when you have Suda involved.
Yeah, Suda definitely cranked up the weirdness meter enough so that it made it interesting when other things failed in the game.
Yeah, it wasn't like a Lollipop Chainsaw that was just too weird for its own good.
It was just a basic beat 'em up, unfortunately,
Yeah,
and it was very short.
it was trying to be the No More Heroes for the other systems.
Now, Shadows of the Damned was way better because it was like kind of like RE4, but with Suda 51's weird style of the goat heads and feeding strawberries to demon doors and stuff like that. It was awesome. And the fact that your girlfriend constantly keeps getting killed every time you get close to saving her, when she dies multiple times in the game. It's like Donkey Kong. You get to the top, and then instead of taking her away, he kills her, and
Yeah.
you just move to the next part.
Well, here's what I actually have the demo of the PT demo up in front of me, and I actually gotta admit, like, I think this console generation is probably going to be the best as far as atmosphere for Silent Hill, because you're getting near close to perfect resolutions as we've ever had, which I think is, and you're also having a more powerful system that can do so much more. And
Well,
I think that things are gonna, with the people involved, look scarier than ever, play better than it ever has.
now that I brought up Mikami, I must mention this. The Evil Within. Have you seen what I've seen on that? It's, oh my God, it's amazing. It's
Bits and
beautiful.
pieces. I'll let you get into it.
I mean, so far, it has a lot of things that remind me of Shadows of the Damned of all games, because you do have an upgrade system. You do have a main enemy that stalks you that you can't defeat, which I find interesting.
I actually love when games do something like that, like
He's like a ghost that appears and disappears at will, no matter what you're doing.
Well, that actually reminds me of another game that one of the Resident Evil games that there was an extra mode that was called like One Zombie or something, and there was one zombie that stalked you through the entire game, and if you killed him, it was game over.
I mean, there is a mansion, there are enemies, your bullets are severely limited, and the graphics are just, oh my God, they're beautiful.
Yeah, I actually have the game as you were saying that, because you've definitely seen more than I have. I actually have a gameplay video up in front of me right now.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out, Mike. This is like better than what Resident Evil has done in a while.
Well, as I think I told you yesterday, that I think other games are doing Resident Evil far better than Resident Evil ever has now.
Well, they're trying to fill that void. They know fans need something. They need a horror game. Dead Space isn't going to step up anymore, so
No.
someone has to take the reins. And I think the Evil Within is a good step in the right direction.
Oh, I think it is too. I think well, after like Resident Evil 6 was not necessarily a commercial flop, let's face it wasn't. But it was a critical flop, especially when people realized after the first few million bought it how awful it was. I think sales completely died off. And I think that's
Oh, yeah.
exactly why that they said with the next game we're getting back to basics, because I think they're finally realizing that, yeah, horror games can sell if they're done right.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Any RE game that comes out is gonna do a couple million the first day. Mainly, that's the diehards. That's people like you and me going out and buying it without knowing too much about it necessarily,
Yeah.
because it's Resident Evil. We want it, and we
Exactly.
get it home, and we're fucking pissed because. It was the worst game that RE has probably ever put out.
Oh, God, yeah, it was.
I mean, it's right up there with Gun Survivor and, fucking Outbreak.
Oh, God, those are bad memories.
Yeah, it's right up there with those.
Yeah.
I mean, it involved, it went into the crap alumni of Resident Evil games.
There was everything wrong with that game.
I think it was just trying to be too Western. They were trying to emulate the games that are successful over here unsuccessfully.
Oh, I think that's exactly what it was.
And you see that a lot in Japanese games nowadays. People want to do the Skyrim style instead of doing typical JRPGs, which I would enjoy a lot more.
I think that's exactly what some of the problem is. They see what style is popular and they go, oh, well, let's just keep doing that, even though it's something we're not very good at.
Yeah, it's very strange over there right now. I mean, they started just about everything in video gaming, console video gaming, and yet now they want to copy off what we have, which is based off what they had originally. So
Yeah, it's kind of a weird cycle.
it's kind of a weird cycle. But
I don't know how I feel about it.
The Evil Within, oh my God, it's one of those psychological horror games that I just every time I see stuff on it, it really intrigues me as the game that I want to play, and it comes out this October. And I couldn't be more ecstatic because between that and Alien Isolation, it's going to be a fun Halloween.
I think so too. There's a lot that's going to be coming, a lot of good stuff that's going to be coming out.
Yeah, the fall is loaded with good games. I'm not even going to mention Call of Duty because, let's face it, I don't know. I saw a lot of Advanced Warfighter. I mean, Kevin Spacey is in it, whatever. But there's just not enough to me to tell me that it's a different game than what I've been playing year after year.
Yes, I did mention that, I think it's kind of awesome that Norman Reedus was going to be in the new Silent Hill, but having an actor in the game does not necessarily make me buy it,
Exactly.
which is exactly why, what is it?
It's all about the gameplay. It has to feel like Silent Hill. It doesn't matter who's in it. It ha
Exactly. That's why. That's what I'm meaning. Like, even it doesn't matter who's in it. I'm excited Norman Reedus is in it because I think he's a great actor, but he's not the reason I'm buying it.
I mean, like for instance, Evil Within, I think it's kind of a combination of Resident Evil and Silent Hill because you have apparitions and stuff to solve, and you have this psychological tormenting atmosphere that's reminiscent of Silent Hill games, but with the item management of Resident Evil, I think it works to its benefit that both series right now are kind of down and out.
Oh yeah, definitely. No, I think it has a lot of good places to go. And I really am curious to see how the Evil Within is when it does come out.
I like the idea of an invincible enemy stalking you. I like
Yeah.
that idea a lot. Something that you can't get rid of, that you're always kind of, not necessarily always on edge, but for the most part, you think to yourself, when is this guy gonna spook the fuck out of me?
Yeah, exactly.
When is he gonna show up and, totally ruin my day?
Let's see, I'd like it. That also goes back to he did the same thing like with that Resident Evil that I mentioned, but he also did that with the zombie mode. But he also did that in what game was it?
Oh, if you're thinking about
Nemesis.
Nemesis, that's a little different. That guy was always in your face, but he could be defeated. This guy, I don't think can be defeated until the final confrontation.
No. I know it is different, but I'm just meaning kind of like just like along the same lines. It seems like he really likes that idea of constantly being stalked, and with each kind of console generation, he's adding something to it until it gets perfect.
Yeah. I have to admit, the Nemesis game put me on edge quite a bit because you never knew who was going to bust through a wall. Walls didn't matter to this man. He would just knock him down and get you.
At least it didn't matter the first playthrough.
Yeah.
After the first playthrough, or at least the first couple, you kind of learn where he's gonna come out. So, but I mean, that's what I mean
Yeah.
with Nemesis. You had that, and they did kind of the same thing with that other, with the other Resident Evil game with the zombie mode. And I think that was the Resident Evil remake he did that with.
Oh, we all
So I
know.
mean, and
Yeah.
but I mean, now doing that with a new game, he's still kind of like slowly working with that idea. So like, while it's not anything new that he's ever done, I think it's like with each one, it's getting closer and closer, probably to like what he wants it to be.
It's also, from what I've seen, non-linear, and it kind of favors exploration. Like, the more you explore the grounds and other areas, the more ammo you're going to have, the more health packs, the more upgrade, points. It definitely harkens back to a time, that allowed us to explore more than we had to always constantly battle.
Oh, I miss those days.
And that intrigues me. A lot of this game does.
It's kind of that sense of wonder you don't get anymore with games.
No, they'd rather just shove demons in your face in a straight line until you get bored.
and give you a tutorial for every different gameplay element instead of letting you figure out on your own.
Well, tutorials now are mandatory since they don't pack instruction manuals.
But I mean, even back in the old days, we didn't use the instruction manual. We just played until we died over and over again until we figured it out for ourselves.
That's true. I mean, I always read the instruction manual because I always liked all the flavor text and all the build-up of the characters, the story, and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, it definitely had its use. I don't mean to make it sound like it didn't, but I miss the kind of like the feeling of exploration of not knowing what's coming.
Are you in some kind of trouble, Mike?
That's RoboCop again.
But yeah, and as far as NES games go, back in that day, you had to read the manual to even find the story because they wouldn't tell you.
I know.
It's like the game wouldn't even bother to tell you anything about the world or the story. You had to check the manual.
Oh yeah, that's exactly where it was. I mean, if that's how you had to figure out the story for games like, oh God, what the hell? Why can't I think today? Metroid. If
Metroid.
you didn't have that, you'd know nothing at all.
Legend of Zelda, Faxanadu, everything was in the manual. The Legend of Zelda has a brief paragraph if you let the game sit on the title screen of what you're supposed to do, but ultimately it doesn't do a good job of setting up everything.
No.
And Highlight's story is great. Just a dragon hitting a princess that explodes into fairies.
Oh man, I miss the old days.
I recently revisited the old days with all this talk of Mad Max Fury Road from Comic-Con, which I don't know if I mentioned this before on the podcast. I am a huge fucking Mad Max fan, fanatic.
You've never
And
mentioned it, but I know you are.
Fury Road has been in development hell for 10 years. Now it's been 30 years since Beyond Thunderdome, and this trailer has me already salivating. I'm excited. But getting back to NES, I popped in again, Mad Max for the NES, and I hate that game.
I don't think I
That
ever played that.
it's made by Mindscape Entertainment. Already, I can hear the boos.
Ooh.
But it is the worst piece of shit ever to grace the NES. If you run out of fuel, you die. If you lose health, you die. You run out of fuel, I mean, you run out of food, you also die. It just, you die, you die, you die. Even before you get out of the car. If you can get out of the car to find the little camps that you need to collect more stuff. And the weird thing about it is the item shop for that game. You have to trade food and water for gas and, ammunition. And you think to yourself, well, doesn't he ever need to eat? I mean, is this guy just gonna fucking trade the only source of, food in the wasteland? Yes, he is. Totally.
Well, so it's never meant to be realistic.
Anyways, it's a crap licensed game, and this was common in the NES age, and I tried playing it again recently, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't get past the first level of that game. It's that balls hard from the outset. It takes a couple times to learn where everything is before you can actually survive for at least 10 minutes. It's one of those games. Memorization of the map is key. Finding out where all the little caves are for supplies is also key. And making sure your car runs out of fuel before you die from it is important.
Don't you miss those days?
Yeah, I miss them all right.
No,
Like a fucking bullet train staked to the heart.
well, no. So there were some fun games where it was you had to figure out things on your own like that, but not all of them were fun.
Yeah. I mean, once you get inside the little caves and it goes into on foot mode, it's kind of cool. I mean, you can shoot, mutants and all that kind of stuff and collect supplies, but
Yeah.
then you got to go back out there to, the cars that are trying to run you off the road, the bunkers that are shooting at you, and the stretch of road that you have to go on to make the car drive fast always has either a swerve, a pothole, or something on both lanes of that road to detour you every, 5 seconds on purpose. Just to annoy you. And it turns your car around so they can just hammer it with missiles.
So did you not like this game?
I would. I mean, I would give it a butthole out of 10.
Oh wow, that's pretty intense.
I mean, it is the worst fucking shit ever to be attached to that license.
Oh
If you ever
no.
want to play a real Mad Max game that's not necessarily called Mad Max, try Outlander on Genesis. You will not be disappointed. Not doesn't have the license, but has all the style and flavor of the Mad Max series.
Oh, your rants are my favorites.
Oh yeah, I can't believe I revisited that turd, but you know, what, there are no other Mad Max games. Well, he's not called that anyway. That are out there. I mean, we can always call Fallout Mad Max, but it really isn't.
Yeah, I think Mad Max is the closest you're yeah, Mad Max. I think Fallout's the closest you're ever gonna get to a good Mad Max game, to be honest with you.
That's just the thing, you know, Fallout, especially 3 in New Vegas, there's no vehicles. And Mad Max has a car. I mean, that's explicit throughout all the films. His car is the biggest thing in his life.
Well, you know, they said they don't put ladders in the game because they don't feel they're necessary. If they can't program ladders, how can we expect them to program car physics?
That's true. The only Fallout game to have a vehicle was Fallout 2.
What about Fallout Online? Is that ever coming?
No, not since Bethesda kind of sued Interplay about that, and
Yeah.
that's done, Mike.
I know. I just couldn't help it.
And honestly, at this day and age, I don't want another fucking MMO. That market is so oversaturated, it's ridiculous.
Oh yeah, and all it's gonna be is a free to play microtransaction based game.
I've never seen such a bloated market in my life until the MMO became popular.
Oh, I know, me either.
This reminds me, I did get a chance to play the Destiny beta, which Destiny is an online massive multiplayer online shooter. And they only allow you to get to level 8, and then they cut you off. I
Yeah,
know,
I know.
ridiculous. All of the guns and stuff you can get for reputation rewards in the hub city are level 20, so I couldn't really tell you how those fare. Overall gameplay, I can say this. Even though it's made by Bungie, the Halo developers,
Yeah.
the guns actually work. And the game is kind of fun. I mean, you have your little hub city where you can go around, talk to people, do gestures, etc., get your mail, you know, retrieve some of the items that you got schematics for in the main world, but ultimately it boils down to missions. On the planet Earth. The Earth is, of course, overrun and, you know, etc., by all these crazy aliens, and you have to go down there onto what I saw in the beta so far, one map of Russia, and you do the different parts of it in each mission. Ultimately, the whole map is available to you every time you drop down there, but the mission kind of pigeonholes you to one spot of it.
Okay.
So it's not. And that's the problem because it doesn't feel like there's a big enough world to call it an MMO.
Yeah, that's not good.
As a matter of fact, I don't think it should be an MMO at all, but that's just me. It's sort of
But what do you
reminiscent
know?
of Phantasy Star Online in a way, in that regard, that you know, you have like a hub and then you have like the wilderness
Yeah.
kind of I haven't met any bosses yet in the game that are really worth a damn. I mean, I met some mini bosses, but nothing I can call as a real boss fight. I mean, there are. When you get down there, of course, you can see other players doing different goals and stuff like that. You can choose to help them if you want, but.
Why
And
would you
there's
do that?
also. You basically just walk up to them and you shoot whatever the hell they're shooting for the most part. I haven't seen any other great way of doing it. There are some world events that you can all participate on, regardless of whether you're grouped up or not, which are nice. Like, let's say a giant tank where you drop from the sky, and you know, as long as you and other people start shooting it, you can all roll for the reward on it, which is
Okay.
nice. Most MMOs have that anyway, so it's
Yeah.
not really a standout feature. You have your typical paper doll inventory as well, armor, you know, gauntlets,
Yeah.
boots, all that kind of stuff.
It's
You
basic
also have a
MMO fare.
primary weapon and a secondary, how do I put it, like heavy weapon, and then you have your really big effing gun weapon for your third slot. So basically, your first slot's usually an automatic, like a assault rifle or a pistol or something like that. Your second level weapons are usually sniper rifles, shotguns, and your last one are, you know, plasma cannons, your rocket launchers, etc. Ultimately, it's a solid game, and but I just don't see the need for online co-op at all for it. You can do most of the stuff yourself, as I did, and just, you know, I just didn't see why it needed to be an MMO.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on that yet.
Which is probably good for people like me and you because we don't tend to be like those like people who join guilds.
Yeah, and if you're a Bungie fan from the past, I don't believe there's any split screen multiplayer with this one, so you're shit out of luck. You have to
Yeah.
have your own copy of the game.
Well, that's just annoying.
Yeah, no couch multiplayer from what I've
Yeah,
seen.
I really don't like that that's going away.
Yeah, that's kind of fading nowadays.
Yeah.
Like most companies don't put it in. I think that's why Borderlands became so popular is because they have that on every title that they put out.
Yeah. Like I don't think like, oh, you have to encourage it for every game you have, but some games it's more appropriate for.
There's also crafting, but like I said, only being able to get to level 8 and being restricted in where you could go, I never got to that point where I could do something with crafting. I picked up materials, but never enough to do something
Yeah.
with it. The multiplayer was also available. They have a separate planet for all the multiplayer jerks to go to do PvP and team deathmatch, etc.
Well, that's good at least.
And you, of course, you can earn reputation points, but you transfer to the hub world and for gear.
Right.
And the multiplayer is serviceable, but everyone is already cheap at it. I mean, like, seriously. Seriously, ridiculously cheap at it.
Well, it's kind of a thing with PC, especially like it's a lot easier to hack the games like that.
Yeah, and one other thing I want to make mention of is you do get a little bike that you cruise around with. They call it the Sparrow. You can put this out at will anywhere on the map and travel to where you wish. The enemies, of course, can still shoot you off of it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's a great way to fast travel around the map instead of having to walk everywhere, which I like that they did.
Yeah. That's good.
Ultimately, it's good, and I think it's a solid game, but it's not extraordinary. It doesn't do anything that no one else has done before exceptionally well, is my opinion on it. So far, from what I've seen, it's very average, but it'll fill a hole for next-generation gamers looking for something a little different than COD.
I think a lot of people are always looking for that. I mean, COD is obviously now past its prime. It's still going to do well, but everyone's kind of looking for that new thing to kind of fill the gap.
Yeah, I mean, they'll never get to that point that Modern Warfare 2 hit. That was like the pinnacle, I think, of the
Oh,
COD,
definitely. Definitely.
insanity. And then as they added on sequels, more people began to tune out. I mean, Black Ops did put a little life into it, but not enough to keep it going.
Yeah. No, definitely not enough. Let me see. I know you're not a. I forget how did you feel about that Hyrule Warriors game?
I was upset because it just feels like a carbon copy of Dynasty Warriors. I wish they did something a little different, but that's just me.
Because I've been, with just so much going on, I haven't had as much chance to read news lately as I would have liked. But I did see, and I know it wasn't announced like just today or anything, but Ganon being a playable character.
Yeah, they're putting a lot of people in playable roles that have never been in the series before,
Yeah.
which that might be the reason to buy it, honestly.
Zelda, you have obviously the Ganondorf now, and
Sheik too, right?
Sheik, you have the original kind of bad guy from Twilight Princess's aunt.
What
Who's
about the guy from A Link Between Worlds? Is he in it?
I do not know.
Or maybe Vaati from Four Swords?
Oh, at least they were able to develop one other enemy besides Ganon.
But yeah, I mean, I don't want to diss it outright. Because I love The Legend of Zelda as much as you do, but I hate it when they crib a style, like brick for brick, or pixel for pixel in this case, of an established series like Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, I actually think it's kind of funny because usually, like other games copy Zelda, and this is kind of Zelda copying someone else.
I mean, I've loved the Dynasty Warriors series, don't get me wrong. I have a lot of them, but I don't know how I'm gonna feel about a Zelda game based on it, unless they add some kind of mechanic or mission or objective that would make sense,
I'm assuming they're going to like I don't know what. But I'm kind of hoping like they're gonna keep like the Zelda style in a way, manner of speaking that, and it's like Dynasty Warriors does not have like huge bosses.
I mean, what it will do is for people who want to just jump into Zelda and play an action game straight up. This will be a great game for them. I
Oh
mean, you could
yeah.
fight as Link immediately, and you could take on hordes of enemies if that's your thing. It kind of gets rid of all the exploration and whatnot of the other Zelda games. It just says, hey, here's a pure action game for you fanatics who like combos.
Oh yeah, definitely. But I mean, I think it's going to differ in the way that, it's going to have, unlike Dynasty Warriors games, it's going to have like probably some epic boss fights that you don't actually ever see in Dynasty Warriors because this is coming from Zelda.
I hope it has like a cohesive story that you give a damn about. Because Dynasty Warriors, I've always had a disconnect with their story. Like, yay, I killed the yellow turbans. Does that mean anything to me? No. It's
That
like,
means you saved a plane.
exactly. Well, no, not those yellow turbans.
I don't know what you mean.
Anyway.
I
Or
think
Yellow
it.
Fan Rebellion, whatever it was called.
Oh God, no. I think I don't know if it will. I mean, Zelda, the Zelda series itself has been really moving towards story-based games lately, but I think they're gonna save that for the actual Zelda, the next like mainstream Zelda game. Just a feeling.
Yeah, they might.
I mean, they're moving closer and closer to really good cinematic stories. I mean, the newest one alone, Skyward Sword, had like, oh God, if I, at least like a good like an hour or two of cutscenes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. It's another Zelda game. It's a different approach than other Zelda games because it doesn't have exploration or adventure. It's just straight up, beat 'em up kind of the game. And
Yeah.
I think that will fill a niche for a lot of people who like Zelda but don't necessarily want to slog through an adventure.
No, I didn't think it could be. Let's face it, it's a Zelda game. It's gonna sell a few systems too.
I think it needs DLC like Mario should be playable, Birdo, et cetera.
I want to see Dynasty Warriors Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah, or how about Mega Man? He'd be perfect. You just shoot them all down.
Didn't they try that with Mega Man Online?
Get out.
Sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. I know how much that meant to you. Believe me, it meant just as much to me. You and I have,
We both love Mega Man.
and we've both been playing it a lot lately.
It's so funny when the first Mega Man came out, I kind of just bought it because it was on the Captain N show, honestly, because the box art wasn't selling
Did you ever
it.
see the DOS version of Mega Man?
No, I've seen pictures, but I don't own it.
It's one of the most god-awful things in history. I'll have to send you a video of some gameplay footage. It is near unplayable.
But beyond the bad box art, Mega Man 1 just floored me. Like I had to have all the other ones that came out after.
Yeah, Mega Man itself was just like a revelation in gaming.
Oh, it was a great concept, being able to steal the weapons of your enemies and using them on other enemies.
Not having to go from level to level.
Yeah, being able to do it in the order that you wanted to do it, or if you knew the exact order to and maximize weapon damage, you could do that too.
It had a lot going for it.
Yeah, it had like a variable difficulty in that respect. Like you can make it as hard as you want. Like if you don't want to go in order the right order and just do things in Mega Buster, there it was supported for to do that. You could. It was very hard, but you could.
I also feel like the first few games, especially like one and two, everyone was like almost like an element based, so it was very easy to figure out who was going to be weak to who. After that, though, it became a lot harder to figure out. Like, how the hell was I going to supposed to figure out that Snake Man is weak to Needle Man,
That makes a lot of sense. I don't know.
or that what was it, Gemini Man or something like that? Was right no, wasn't he one of the American Gladiators?
I don't think he was.
Not like the Gemini Man was weak to Top Man. After the first couple, the weaknesses started getting a little weird, I felt.
Oh, definitely, but Mega Man 1 is always big in my book as being very challenging. The sequels balanced that challenge with E-tanks and all sorts of other tanks. But for the most part, Mega Man 1, you didn't have any of that stuff, so you were totally effed if you didn't have enough lives to back it up.
Oh, definitely.
And one of the sticking points from a lot of gamers was the shapeshifter.
Oh, the Yellow Devil.
Yeah, he was a pain in the ass. I mean, not using the trick, of course, he was a pain in the ass.
Once you know when to jump, though, like his exact pattern, he became very easy. But it was learning that pattern and getting it right that was the hard one.
Well, it didn't leave much room for error. If you didn't do a clear, sweeping jump to the left side of the screen when you did the double block, sometimes you could miss it and get damaged.
Oh,
And
yeah.
then it's downhill from there. Once you get hit once, you're stunned for a second, which gives him enough time to hit you again.
Yep.
It was a
Yeah.
tough fight.
Yeah, it was the double blocks that came at you, high and low, that were just like hard to avoid.
All in all, a great game, but I don't want to. This is not a mega cast. This is just a.
Surprised it took you that long to call it that. This is a mega cast. Mega
Mega fuck no.
high. Mega no.
Let's get into things that possibly could be annoying. Like Michael Bay has a movie out. Well, not technically, he's not the director, but it oozes of his style.
Yeah, his production company is the one making it.
But they learned a lot from him because it's just as terrible as the other stuff he's done.
Remember, this is also the same production company, Platinum Studios or Platinum Design or whatever the hell it is. They are also the same ones that did the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th, Platinum Dunes.
Oh, don't get me started. The Nightmare remake sucked.
I thought it had some great concepts, but other than that, no. Like the
The design of Freddy was just so wrong.
oh, the design of Freddy was awful. They went for the realistic instead of like the stylized, and it was awful because I mean, yeah, like let's at least get like talk about the couple good ideas that the movie had,
Right.
because it did have a couple. First, you know, they kind of played up the idea that for a little while that Freddy actually may have been innocent, which I thought was kind of a cool take on the possibility of him being the child killer.
Which, I kind of, I like that and I hate it at the same time. Like, I like villains that are unredeemable, just completely. You don't have to really necessarily wonder what side they're on. They have no gray area. They're completely evil all the time.
Well, no, I and he definitely was, but I liked the idea that you weren't necessarily sure if he was the bad guy or the parents were the bad guy. I didn't I not necessarily that it was a great plot point, but I thought it was at least something different. And different is not something you ever really see in a lot of horror movies.
Oh yeah, I didn't see the Friday the 13th one. Like I'd rather not, but I heard it was okay.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was unoffensive. It was fine. It didn't have any deaths that were overly original, but they were fun to watch.
Same thing was with Nightmare.
Yeah, but at least going back to the other good thing that came out of that movie was the idea of those micro naps. I thought was really cool.
Nah.
Like the scene in the pharmacy where they were constantly switching in and out of dream and awake state, I thought was awesome.
Yeah, stuff like that was an interesting concept. Let's face it, the Nightmare series has always been kind of plagued by shitty movies. I mean, there's only a handful of good ones I can name that I liked.
Yeah, I can't think of many ones that I like really loved besides the first one.
The first one's good. Dream Warriors is really good. And the new Nightmare, I like the idea of having the fourth wall broken, having the real actors being plagued by these
Oh, it was definitely
supernatural
something.
elements.
It was definitely something different. And you know, Robert Englund got to play dual roles, and he's always awesome in everything he does.
Yeah, there's a good scene in there where Heather Langenkamp just comes up to him and says and basically tells him about the stuff that's going on in her life, and he's like, "Really? You're afraid of the character I played? And really? He's stalking you? That's just strange."
And you got to see like the characters and their real lives outside of the movie, which was kind of nice.
Yeah, all the actors played themselves, and it was kind of cool to see them, unmasked, if you will.
It was definitely a, like a very unique take on the series, on a horror movie in general.
Yeah, it starts out when they're filming a new Nightmare movie, and it just goes crazy from there on.
Yeah, and the new Freddy is a demon.
Which I thought was cool, and they should probably end the series then. Just right then. New Nightmare was awesome.
I'm sure Wes Craven would have loved to.
Yeah, it was the second time he was involved in Nightmare was New Nightmare.
Yep. After the first one, they kind of took it away from him. Because I think, I can remember, I think I remember reading that he did not want to make any sequels.
He wanted to do something else, but,
Yeah.
the character Freddy was so popular, like, we can't just walk away from this.
Yeah, exactly. How could
But,
they? But anyway,
exactly.
let's get. I
Yeah, let's move on to what we were talking about.
think the movie itself is worth watching just to see how much better the original is. But anyway, yeah, let's go back to.
Let's go on to the humanoid turtle design, which I don't like. I really
No,
don't
I.
like the way they look.
No, neither do I.
I don't like the human noses and stuff like that. I can't.
I also am not a big fan of the actual plot of the movie itself.
I'm not a big fan of heavy CG either, and this movie seems to glorify itself in it.
Oh God, yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it, it's a Michael Bay film.
Yeah, and there are a lot of reused stuff from Transformers in it. If you've seen Transformers, all of them, you'll notice that shots are very similar,
Yeah.
especially the slow motion stuff, which they do a lot in the film during the fight scenes.
Oh God, yeah. He loves the slow motion, especially when someone's like flying through the air.
Because you can't tell what's going on without it, honestly. Like the Transformers, the first one especially, I couldn't tell who was kicking whose ass because it just wasn't.
Well, at least in this, you can kind of tell because they have different colored masks on.
It's really rough when the CG is going at a blazing speed like it does, and you're just trying to, and the camera shots are just fast cuts. Like, oh, here's him hitting someone. Here's the guy on the floor now. How did we get there? I don't fucking know. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. It's like if someone put four different jigsaw puzzles on the floor and just dropped them and said, here, solve it. That's how their action scenes in Michael Bay movies usually go.
Yeah.
It's like, but enough of that. I mean, I don't want to dwell on that.
No,
Ultimately,
but it spends more time, you spend more time like trying to keep up with what's going on than actually enjoying it.
there's some good things. Splinter actually fights more in this one than he ever did in the
Yeah, which is
others.
awesome.
It kind of reminds me of Yoda in the way from Star Wars. Like, he didn't do any fighting until he was digitized.
Which makes perfect sense.
And, wow, yeah, his fight scenes were the worst part of that film.
Yeah, they really were.
Mean, come on, am I supposed to really believe that he's going to somersault with a lightsaber in his hand to infinity and not get tired? Yeah, okay.
Well, he's small and like a child. He has a lot of energy.
I mean, if a psycho Muppet was coming at me with a light sword, yeah, I'd probably be scared. I have to admit.
I'd be going, Chucky.
Ooh, that reminds me. Did you see Curse of Chucky or no?
No, I didn't.
You should.
I heard it was actually pretty good. I remember people originally thinking it was supposed to be a remake, but it ended up turning like a sequel, but still bringing everything back to like the original style.
Yeah, it got rid of like the campiness of Bride and Seed and all those other movies they made. It went back to just like the first one was, just very demonic.
But still being an actual sequel, like that entire universe is still valid, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, I mean like I said, Bride and the other ones, they kind of put it into another in a campy direction.
Yeah.
And even though I like those movies, don't get me wrong, they're actually kind of fun in a way, but
Oh
they
yeah, I
took
definitely
away
think
the
they have
serious
their
tone.
I definitely think they have their value. Like even like those like worst Freddy movies, at least in their own way, have something to offer in a w one way or another.
I mean, I absolutely loved Bride, and even though it's just campy shit, it's fun.
God, Seed of Chucky.
And Seed, yeah, Seed was worse, but
The Seed was terrible.
yeah, Seed, that you gotta really search for the moments in Seed to enjoy them. But in Bride, I think a lot of it was pretty good. It just wasn't the kind of, horror that you would expect from the series. It went in kind of a different direction. But Curse brings
I
it
like in
back.
the later Chucky movies to like the Leprechaun movies. They're always terrible but fun.
I don't know if I can agree with you on the Leprechaun series.
Not all of them, but some of them, yes.
Oh, I didn't realize this was a horror cast.
Hey, you started
Yeah, true. Well, we're talking about Michael Bay, and that's horrifying enough.
it. Worst an Uwe Boll ever will be.
But I really want to talk about Michael Bay's new movie because of the slew of turtle talk that's come from this movie coming out. Like, for
Yep.
instance, the Kinect game. I don't know if you had a chance to play this abomination on
Oh,
arcade, but
thankfully not.
it's free, of course. Like most drug dealers, they want you to actually play it and be disgusted with the end result. Yeah, it's a Kinect game where basically they put an image of you in the center of a sewer, like a passageway, and your goal is to destroy all these training obstacles in your way and dodge ninja stars while eating pizza.
Like the real turtles do.
And each training montage, you have a new weapon in your hand, and that's really the only difference.
Yeah, it just switches up to the turtle weapons, and that's about it.
It's kind of like a poor man's fruit ninja, because you can only hit it once. You can't slice it in half and slice it again, like fruit
Yeah,
ninja would
yeah.
be, which would actually be kind of cool. And let's just be honest, it's basically a advertisement for the movie and for Pizza Hut that sponsored the movie heavily.
Yeah, it's not no big surprise. I mean, every movie now has to have some game attached with it, but why do they all have to be so terrible?
And the movie itself has a lot of advertisements. Like when April O'Neil goes to her phone, you'll see the Skype logo in big letters.
Yeah, the movie is nothing but
And Pizza Hut is everywhere in the movie, too.
no big surprise. It's freaking turtles. They're all about pizza. And who better to do God, why can't I think tonight? A pizza advertisement for.
But I think everyone really is disappointed with the design of Shredder. It's too off base. He looks like a Transformer. He looks like a friggin'
Yeah, I mean, even in the trailers, they call him a giant robot samurai.
They went too far with him.
Yeah, he doesn't feel like Shredder.
I can see if he took mutagen and he became like a super Shredder and that's what he looked like, that would make sense. But just to start him off like that doesn't make sense.
No, I wasn't a fan of it, his design. Although I am kind of glad though that like in the trailers they don't try to hide Shredder, because I mean everyone knows what he's gonna look like roughly.
I'm happy he's in it. I mean, honestly, I always love it when Shredder's in there because he's one of the best villains.
Oh, especially like one of the funny things about that is the comic book creators themselves don't even care about Shredder at all.
Yeah,
He's
go
in
ahead.
the well he did he was at one point, like for a very short time, a pretty major villain. He is not a major force in the Turtle comics.
No, he was a major force for the TV show, the
Yeah,
cartoons.
exactly. Yeah, in the comics he's not that all that major.
I mean, if you're expecting to see Bebop, Rocksteady, or Krang, or anybody like that from the Turtle Universe, none of them are in it, so.
Yeah,
It's mainly, yeah.
there was some interview that was done with one of the creators of the Ninja Turtles, and he was saying that his exact wording was when Shredder's not in the when Shredder's gone, we don't miss him. Like, and he, Shredder in the comics is dead anyway. And unlike most other comics, he's only been revived once.
Yeah, it all started with, I believe, one of the artists put a cheese grater on his hand and held the handle with his hand, and they became a concept for the Shredder
It's exactly
originally.
what it was.
And awesome idea, but still, it's like the one that Michael Bay has just doesn't make any sense.
No, it's awful.
But well, I think that's all I had for this week, unless you need to.
No, you pretty much nailed everything on the head. Everything that I had planned on, you already got through. Oh,
All right, so.
before we actually end this, since we brought up the turtles, what is your favorite turtles game before we end this?
That is a tough one. Really, you want to? Does are arcade games included, or is it just strictly console?
Let's go strictly console.
Shoot, it's tough. This is still very tough. I mean, there are so many that they've made over the years.
Oh, I know.
But I'm gonna go with probably one of the best arcade conversions ever made, Turtles 4, Turtles in Time on Super Nintendo.
That was pretty good.
If there is a better one, I don't think it's possible. Hit all the right notes. It actually made some boss fights better by changing the bosses entirely from the arcade version.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything in that game that wasn't as amazing.
And it uses the Mode 7 a lot, which I liked.
I think that was a requirement for SNES games.
I mean, most notably in the one where they're on the hover pads and stuff,
Yeah.
that was supposed to be strictly, side scroll. You weren't supposed to go into the screen like you could in the SNES version, amongst other things. If I had to pick a runner up, which I will kind of now,
Yep.
And I know I'm going to get a lot of disagreements here, but I really have an unfortunate turtle boner from the first game.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. It was as hard as hell. Level design was all over the place,
But I
but
enjoyed the freedom, the ability to do things the way I wanted to do them, you know?
exactly.
Like well, not the dam stage, of course, but I mean, you got into the city, stage 3, where you can just go in any order and go into buildings and stuff. I thought that was cool.
I agree. Even honestly, even the damn stage wasn't all that bad.
No, I'm not saying it's bad, it's just extremely linear. They pigeon, hole you into a certain direction the entire time, but
Yeah.
the other stages are more freeform. It's like you can go into any manhole cover or any building you want to in any order. And you gotta kind of figure out where things would be, like where your captured turtles would go and stuff like that. And I
Yeah.
always found that interesting, and the fact that you had a team that you could switch off at will was also cool.
That was. I think it's the only Turtles game where you actually control all the turtles at once.
Yep, but it was hard as hell. I mean,
Oh, it was.
it was known for its difficulty.
The enemies hit very hard.
And the enemies were not from the show at all.
No. No, this was not based on the TV show.
And the weird thing is, that game was advertised to death. It was even on the back of the TMNT cereal boxes.
Oh, God, I remember those.
Well,
As
anyway,
much as I don't
what's your
want to.
favorite?
Well, as a runner-up, I'm definitely going to be going with the second one as well. I mean, there was just so much about that that I loved.
Yeah.
I'm gonna my favorite is the arcade one, the original arcade Turtles 2.
On NES? Because it is the console-only list.
Yes. The NES version.
I didn't like that version very much. I was a big fan of the arcade, don't get me wrong, but the fact that you couldn't really combo foot soldiers, like you hit them once, they back off, they get invincible and come back.
Yeah, no, I can see that. I mean, I can see why you wouldn't care for that.
But I mean, I went nuts for it when it came out because it was the arcade and everyone loved the arcade.
Well, me and you also played that to death when it came out on the Xbox Arcade.
Yeah, I mean it's a great game. And they added two stages with two new villains, which I liked.
Of course, they didn't let you have infinite continue, so it was still as hard as hell.
It was very hard for the time. They added a samurai stage and a snow level with two new bosses from the, I don't know if they were actually from the comics or not. I couldn't tell you, but I think they were just made up for the game. You also got to face General Trag, which was interesting.
Oh, I don't remember that.
At least I believe it was that game, unless I have my wires crossed again.
Oh no, it very well could be. I just don't remember. It's been a while.
But yeah, it was a fun game.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, for the time, it was the only way you could have the arcade experience at home, and Pizza Hut was all over it. There were billboards with Pizza Hut signs, all kinds of stuff. Just, the logo was constantly in your face. The instruction manual even came with a coupon for Pizza Hut
I remember
on the
that.
back end.
God, it was so awful and awesome at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it paled in comparison to the arcade, but it was honestly the best version you could get at home at the time,
Oh, yeah, definitely.
and for its time, it was pretty awesome. I admit, I enjoyed it to death when I got it Christmas many years ago.
It was a good time. It still is.
Yeah, I could be wrong on General Trag. I'm probably thinking of the sequels, which are far superior. But, it was at the time, like I said, it filled that niche of not having the arcade beat 'em up at home, especially since the first game was so radically different than all the others.
Yeah, and even the Turtles arcade game on console, it was still fairly different than the actual arcade release too. So if you played one and you played the other, you weren't necessarily feeling like you were playing the same game.
Well, yeah, that was mainly due to limitations with the memory and stuff. They had to be more creative than
Of course.
than the other one. Hence the two extra stages that I mentioned before were added
Yeah.
to round out the package of the game.
Oh, good times, buddy.
Nowadays they would have been DLC, but
Yeah,
back then, yeah, they were just trying to sell the game.
now they'd release it one stage at a time for $4 a level.
Yeah, right. Or you'd have like an endless attack mode that you can buy for $3.
No, they would just do it the other way and call it episodic gameplay.
True. Or they'd have like the Michael Bay Shredder downloadable for $1.
Why only a dollar? That seems cheap.
Oh yeah, that's right. It should be $10. You're right. Let's go to the Capcom School of DLC.
Remember, it's only a skin change as well.
And if you want to change his color palette, that's $5.
Oh man. From the days before DLC, I almost barely do.
It kind of sucks that they withhold parts of the game now to do that.
Yeah, agreed.
I still don't like that because you never know, just what parts of the game are missing until they come out with it, and you're like, okay, I have to play a game again, or sometimes it's a separate mode, but sometimes you have to actually go through it again just to enjoy it,
Oh yeah.
which sucks.
That's annoying.
I wish they would just release the total package as is. Considering they don't spend anything on manuals anymore, and half the stuff is digital distribution anyway,
Oh,
so
I
they
know.
really don't spend as much on packaging. That's what pre-order sales are really for, is to judge how many physical copies they want to make.
I miss the days of good manuals.
I do too. That's why I started buying the collector's editions, especially of RPGs, because they come with everything.
Yeah.
Everything that we're used to having way back when is usually in collector's editions. Except from The Witcher. Witcher's always awesome. But
Which is awesome, no matter which way you get it.
yeah, wow. Witcher 2 came with so much stuff and a manual. It was awesome.
Just the fact that something came with a manual alone is awesome.
Well, I can't speak for everything, but the PC version I have came with like a letter and a seal and a special coin from the game and all kinds of stuff.
Well, I don't know what actually came with the Xbox version because I
Me
only
either.
got it as just the game itself. But the game itself was freaking awesome.
It's
Even
one of
the
my favorites.
even the, they somehow worked the control scheme out perfectly from PC to console, which is very hard to do.
It's a beautiful game. It took everything The Witcher 1 had and just magnified it to ridiculous ends. I really love the second game. And now the third one, Wild Hunt, is on the horizon.
Yep, that's gonna be a great time.
Oh yeah. I mean, Witcher is always awesome. The developer who does Witcher, CD Projekt Red, they crack me up because their PR team will get on there and basically tell you, look, if you want it without DRM, get it on the PC, get it through GOG, or get it, as a standalone title.
Yeah.
We can't guarantee that the console versions will not be bogged down by DRM.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially like I think the Witcher 2 came out on GOG when it was first released, and that's one of GOG's biggest thing is no DRM.
They have a partnership with GOG, is what it is.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they release everything digitally for Witcher on GOG first, at least. I don't know if it actually trickles to Steam or not. I know GOG is the first place to go, and you can pre-order from GOG as well.
Oh, it upsets me a little bit that they have that they get new games like that, but the fact that they're still DRM free makes me happy.
No, GOG is always fighting the good fight. I mean, granted, every game you get from them is not going to be gold. You have to keep in mind the limitations of the games you're buying. How they're going to look on modern hardware may not be favorable to the eye.
Oh yeah. They're not necessarily giving like the awesome games. More often than not they are, but they're more about preserving the old awesome, like the old games, rather than, well, this game was just awesome, or so we're gonna release it. It's more of just exactly that, about preserving the good old games.
Yeah, it's not about enhancing them. It's about making them run on modern hardware,
Yeah.
regardless of their look or state. So sometimes it could be unappeasing, like Syndicate, for instance.
Cool.
Especially Syndicate Wars is the worst of the bunch. I can't even play it. It looks too shitty for me to play.
And also, let's face it, they're not always picking like these amazingly like awesome playing games. Sometimes they're picking games that are just honestly not that very good, but the fact that they are keeping those old games alive regardless of how good or bad they were. So yeah, you'll every once in a while get a game on there that's not very fun to play.
Yeah, a game you may have fond childhood memories of look like shit today,
Oh God,
unfortunately.
yeah.
And I've run into that a few times with games I bought on there, and it just doesn't match up.
Yeah.
But then again, a lot of those games back then, they ran in pure DOS, so to getting them to run now is really awesome and really a miracle in itself.
Yeah, it is.
Because, I mean, pure back in those pure DOS states when they worked strictly on physical memory, it is tough. It is definitely tough to get them to run in today's environment.
Yeah, those days were not easy.
Not at all. Like,
And
Crusader is a
half the
series.
time they didn't even run back then.
That's true. Crusader is a series, for instance, that ran in pure DOS that was nightmare on your memory. Like, I had to make a boot disk every time I ran that effing game. Back when mega boot disks was important. Basically, just booting up the operating system without any frills, without Windows, without all these other drivers loaded, just the strict, basic, stip down what it needs to run the game.
Yeah, sometimes you couldn't even you couldn't even boot up Windows. You had to just boot it right from DOS.
Yep, exactly. That's how you did it back then for some of those harder games to get to work. I remember doing that for a lot of the greats that came down. Like, for instance, Rebel Assault, I had to do that for.
Oh God, some of the LucasArts were some of the worst for that.
Because on Windows it would crash. So you would have to go through DOS and you have to make a boot disk, basically load up your CD driver, load up your joystick driver, load up your config, auto exec, and that was it. It's like, and just let it go. But those were the days.
Yeah, now they just run DOSBox on everything.
Now DOSBox does pretty much that environment for you,
Oh,
which is
DOSBox was a
awesome.
savior.
Oh yeah, definitely. Playing all these classic games again, it's impossible with, pretty much without it. Without a lot of work, that is.
Yeah. Reconfiguring your entire system to make it feel like it's on old hardware.
Making your own executable, yeah, et cetera,
Running it
but
under a
still.
virtual machine.
Exactly. Well, anyways, I think this podcast has gone on pretty long, so
I know
I'm out of stuff.
you know it's getting old. We're getting tired of each other.
Well, that was before we started. Anyway.
That's very true.
All right, so
I
I
think
hope you
that's
enjoyed the
yeah.
show.
I think that's it.
Good night, Internet. Hopefully we'll do this more commonly, more on a weekly basis again.
I think we can. We'll have to possibly change up our format a bit to get something a little bit easier for us.
Yep.
But I think we can do it. I feel like I'm that I that that train going. I think I can. I think I can.
I definitely think we can,
I
and
think one of us can show up. I think one of us can show up.
hopefully the next gap will not be as long.
No, let's hope it's only 7 days. Well, for Gerald, I am Mike. We're signing off.